Hey, welcome. My name is Mark. I'm one of the pastors here at C3, and we're so glad that you're joining us today on our online stream. Today, we are concluding our series, Terms and Conditions, and today we're going to be talking about first things first. And I want to start off with a little story. About every other year, my family and I will probably go down to like the Oregon coast, and we'll go to like, you know, there are different towns there to just be by the ocean. We just love that. And I remember when our daughter was younger, she would love to go out on the beach and have me come out with her and make a sandcastle, right? And I try to do the best with her sandcastle. I try to make it like, you know, I try to make it like some of the homes like on HGTV, you know, that, you know, where, when you see all these really beautiful homes, I'll put here's a deck right here. We're going to put a moat around it, do all these kind of things, right? And when you are a kid and you're making a sandcastle, that is your kingdom right there, right? What happens, though, is we grow up and we actually have our own kingdoms. All of a sudden, we are looking at our kingdoms, our family, our home, our health, our finances. We look at everything and we're going, you know, does it really matter? Is somebody going to try to take it away from me? How long will it last? What do people think about me and about my kingdom? I mean, these are things that we as an adults kind of think about, kind of live for. Let me then go from that into a verse that Jesus is talking about. In Matthew 6:33, take a look at this verse. It says, "Seek first his," now who's his? It's God. "Seek first God's kingdom and God's righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Now hold this a second. This is what I would call one of those when-then verses. When you do this, then I, God, will do that. So think about this. This is a when-then verse. When you and I first are concerned about his kingdom and his righteousness, right, then all these things will be given to us. See, we have to do our part. We need to seek his kingdom first and his righteousness. When we do that, then God will bless us with these other things. This is a when then. We have to do our part first. This is what God is calling you and I to do. So there comes to a couple questions. Here's a couple questions that we think about. These are kind of like big questions. One of the big questions is simply this: am I sinning? This is a question we think. Am I sinning by caring about my own kingdom? I want you to answer that yourself right now at home. Am I sinning? Are you sinning by caring about your own kingdom? That's one question. Let me give you another question. Another question is this: can I even ask God to care about my kingdom? Can I even ask God to care about my kingdom? You see, here's the thing. Advancing our kingdom at the expense of God's is not possible. That is not possible. But here's the thing. God says you can do both. You can do both. Because here's the thing. I want you to understand this. And this is something as humans that we struggle with. But the reality is this. Everything we have, everything you have is from God. Everything is from God, and it's on loan to you from God. In fact, in case you haven't figured this out, you came into this world with nothing. When you leave this world, you're not taking anything with you. Everything was here before, and when you leave, it will still be here. So that means it is all God's. It is all God's. But for some reason, we think it's all ours. And we're like, no, no, no. God is just loaning it to you for this time, for this season, for your life. But when you are gone, you're not going to take it with you. It just doesn't work that way. God has given you life. God has given you every ability. You think, oh no, I'm a self-made man. I'm a self-made woman. I can do all. I've worked hard. My brain works, and that's how I've been able to make all this money. Who gave you that ability? Stop and think about it. Who gave you that ability to be able to think that way, to be able to create this thing? God did. There is not one single thing that I have or you have that God hasn't loaned to us. God has loaned everything to us. It's all because of Him. God has given us everything. Let me give an example. I'm picking on my daughter again. When my daughter was a tweener, she's probably 11, maybe 12 at the most. She came to me one day and she said, "Dad, I want to do some changing in my bedroom." So I said, "What do you want to do?" So she started telling me all this stuff. She wanted to do this and that and paint and all. And I'm looking at this and going, this is going to cost a lot of money. This is going to take a lot of time. And it's probably going to be me doing it, paying and doing the work and stuff. And she just kept going on and on. And finally I said, "Whoa, hey, time out." I said, "The answer is no." And here is what she said. She goes, "What do you mean no? It's my bedroom." Now, how I responded to her was one of those teachable moments. Because I said to her, I said, it's your bedroom? I do not remember that when we bought this house, I don't remember you paying for it. I don't remember you putting one nickel down on every month when we're trying to pay the mortgage. You haven't paid anything. The truth is, we allow you to sleep in that room. But really, it's not your room. If it's anybody's room, it's your mother's and I. This isn't yours. It's basically what we're saying is, as your parents, we are loaning this to you. You can use this room, but it isn't yours. We are the one paying for it. And in a sense, I want you to stop and think. That's what God is saying. That is what God is saying to you and to me. Now, here's what I said to my daughter. Let me give you the rest of the story. I said, if you would have a better attitude and not be demanding, if you were to do what we ask you to do and do your chores and all that kind of stuff, I might be more inclined to invest in you and what you want to do in your bedroom. Isn't that what God wants us to do? When all of a sudden we're doing what God is calling us and asking us to do, all of a sudden, then God blesses us and cares about what we're about. But so, for some reason, we just think that we can tell God to do whatever we want Him to do. And God is going, doesn't work that way. I'm not your genie in the bottle. I'm not just going to do everything that you want. I have these when-then. When you do this, then I, God, will do that. But you got to do this part first. You gotta do the right thing. Seek me. Seek my kingdom. Then all these things will be given to you. This is what God is telling us right here. Not convinced? Let me give you another story. There's a guy named Paul in the Bible. Jesus dies on the cross, rises again, ascends into heaven, and then we come into the book of Acts in the New Testament, and here's Paul. And Paul, we see in the book of Acts, but he goes on through basically almost the rest of the New Testament because he's writing letters to different people. And one of the things that Paul is doing is Paul is writing to a group of people. And let me tell you these group of people that he's writing to. He's writing to a group of people, now listen to this, that are having to pay 40% of their income to the government. 40% of the money that you make has to go to the government. Those are the people he's talking to. He's also talking to people that do not have a 401k and they do not have any sort of health insurance. So picture this. If you were here and you hear this from Paul, this is what you have no health insurance, you have no 401k, and 40% of your money has to go to taxes. And yet here is what Paul writes to them. Paul says this, Paul says, remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Now hold this here for a second. What does the word sows mean? You know what that comes? That's from like farming. You know, when you go out as a farmer and you sow the seed, you put out the seed. He's saying when you sow sparingly, just put a few different seeds out there, you're going to reap sparingly. But when you sow generously, you're throwing a bunch out there, you will reap generously. God is saying the same thing with our finances. When we give to God just a little bit, we're gonna get just a little bit sparingly. But when we give more generously, God says, you will then reap generously. Why? Can I ask you this question? And I ask myself this. Why don't we always believe God? Why do we think God would lie to us? God is telling us exactly how to handle this. But for some reason, we don't want to do this, or we just want to just do a little bit. And God's going, no, no, no. I want you to do it the way it's supposed to. And here, if you were back with Paul, you would be spending 40% of your money in taxes. And yet Paul is saying, hey, God wants us to be generous, and he will bless us back. Paul didn't say, hey, just sow and just be happy with what you get. No, he says, sow generously and expect a big harvest. That's what he was saying to them. That's amazing when you stop and think about that. And I want you to think about this. This happens in other ways. In fact, let me give you something for your notes. The measure by which you sow is the measure by which you will reap. And we see this in different areas. Let's talk about marriage. If you are married and you go on date nights, you spend time together, you put your spouse's needs ahead of your own, you have quality time together, you go to church together, you're following God together, you're applying things together, all this kind of stuff. All of a sudden, I'm going to tell you, when you sow all these things into your marriage, you know what you're going to reap? A great marriage. I want to talk to you for a second. Some of you right now are saying, I don't have a great marriage. Are you sowing into your marriage? Because you need to sow into your marriage for you to be able to reap a great marriage. If you do not have a great marriage, can I tell you, you and your spouse need to sow into that. And if you don't know how, you need to talk to one of our C3 counselors, because we're here to help you. But this is one way. When we sow financially, we reap more. When we sow into our marriage, we have a better marriage. The same thing with your career. When you have a career and you show up on time, and you have a great work ethic, and you have a great attitude, and you help other people, and you're just doing everything you can, you're meeting the goals that you're supposed to do, all these different things, you know what's going to happen? You're going to have a reaping of a successful career. Because when you are that way, companies want to keep you. But for some reason, so many people just try to do their job at the very littlest that they have to do, and then they wonder why they're not being promoted, why they're not making more money, why did they fire me? See, when you reap and sow and reap, all of a sudden, God brings it back. Let me give you something here. When you sow generously into God's kingdom, then God invests in you. When you sow generously into God's kingdom, then God invests in you. God wants to invest in you. God loves you. God cares about you. He wants you to care about his kingdom, and therefore he will then care about your kingdom. And then God invests in you. You know, God asks us to invest in his kingdom. God asks us to do that. In fact, let me tell you a story. One time Jesus did this. One time Jesus was walking along and a guy came up. As a younger guy, he had a lot of wealth. And he came up to Jesus and he said this. He goes, hey, Jesus, how can I have eternal life? And Jesus says, well, just follow all God's commands, basically. And he goes, well, I've done that since I've been a kid. And then Jesus said this to them. He says, go sell everything you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. You see, here's the thing. God doesn't hesitate to ask for money. Because you know why? Listen, because it's all his anyway. The money you have in the bank, the money you have in your pocket right now, everything that you have, everything that I have, it is not ours. It is all God's. It is all God's. God created everything. Everything was here before you, and everything will be here after you. And basically, if you stop and think about it, if everything that is on this planet exists because of God, now listen to this, and God also created you, right? So if that's true, by builder's rights, that literally means that you and everything you own belongs to God. Think about that. Because if God created everything and God even created you, then everything you have by builder's rights really is his. Whew. Wow. See, let's be honest, we don't like that. We like to think that we are God. We like to think that we are in charge. We like to think that everything that we have is truly ours. But it's not. You didn't bring it into the world, and you're not going to take it out of the world. It's all God's. It's on loan from God. See, let me give you something else. When we invest in God's kingdom, then God gladly invests in our kingdom. God then gladly invests in our kingdom. God wants to know if you really care about his kingdom first. And if you do, and if you're doing what God has called you to do, then God will then bless your kingdom as well. This is something that he promises to do each and every time. Let me tell you a story. There's a story one time in the Bible where a group of people that are followers of God kind of stopped tithing, stopped doing that stuff, and instead they started just giving God, instead of the tithe, the 10%, they just gave him leftovers. In Scripture, you know what happened? God stopped being generous to them because they stopped tithing. This is something that was not a good thing. And then here's what happens. So this is how God responds to them. God responds this way. He says, will a mere mortal rob God? God is saying, will a mere mortal rob me? Really? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? God, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a blessing? No. You are under a, say it with me, curse. You are under a curse. Your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Now, I don't know if you've ever been robbed before. I remember when I was probably about 10 years old, we came home from a vacation, and we had a window broken out, and somebody had robbed our house while we were gone. And if you've ever been robbed before, you know that feeling. It's like, oh, it just feels terrible when that happens. It's a devastating experience. You just feel violated. You wonder, are they going to come back or what's going on? It's just terrible. And in a sense, this is what God is saying. God is saying, I've been robbed. And then he's pointing and he says, and you did it. You robbed me. And it was you who did it. Why? Why'd you do that? Whew. Let me just ask you a real question here. Are you robbing God? Are you robbing God? I would hope and pray that this verse we just talked about is not you. But I know a lot of people that call themselves Christians are robbing God. And according to this verse, that means you are under a curse. That's not God's heart for you. God wants you to show him that you care about his kingdom. Then he'll care about your kingdom. This is what God's called you and I to do. Jesus affirms tithing in the New Testament. You're like, whoa, hold on there. You know, I thought tithing was just for Old Testament stuff. I didn't think it was New Testament. I'm not sure which Bible you're reading. But let me give you a couple things, because Jesus actually talks about this. Jesus had a question one time about, some people came to Jesus and says, are we to pay our taxes? Look at what Jesus said. Jesus responded to him in this way. He said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and give to God what belongs to God. Now, hold it here. Now, when we're talking about give to Caesar what is Caesar, Caesar was the leader of the government. So in other words, what Jesus is saying when he says give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar is he's saying pay your taxes. And give to God what belongs to God is pay your tithe. So he's going, yeah, pay your taxes, pay your tithe. That's what Jesus is saying in Matthew 22:21. But then let me give you another verse. In Matthew 23:23, take a look at this one. In Matthew 23, this is Jesus talking to the religious leaders at the time, and here's what he says. Woe to you. Now hit pause. Now listen. If Jesus ever says woe to you, that ain't good. That is not a good thing. Jesus starts off saying to these people, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, the religious leaders. You hypocrites. Okay, if you ever hear Jesus say, woe to you, or call you a hypocrite, that is not good. And yet here he is saying it both to this group of people. Woe to you, you hypocrites. Why are you a hypocrite? Well, let me tell you why, he says. You give a tenth. Now, what does a tenth mean? A tenth means a tithe. That's literally what the word tithe means, 10%. You give a tenth of your spices, then he gives some examples, mint, dill, and cumin. But you have neglected the more important matters. You've forgotten the rest of them. What were those important matters? Well, let's take a look at it. The rest of the things that were important were basically talking justice and mercy and faithfulness. You, Jesus is saying, you should have practiced the latter. You should have had justice and mercy for people. You should have done the latter part, those things right there, justice, mercy, and faithfulness, without neglecting the former. What was the former? The tithing. So Jesus, in two different places, is affirming tithe. If only the tithe was in the Old Testament, this right here would have been a perfect place for Jesus to end the tithe. But instead, he said in two different places, it continues on. It continues on. This is God's heart for you and me. God wants to see, do we care about his kingdom? Do we care about lost people? Do we care about trying to reach people? If we do, then, and we care about God's kingdom, then all of a sudden God begins to care about our kingdom. Wow. So what does God tell us? Well, God tells us this in Malachi 3:10. He says, test me. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. And see if I will not throw open, I love this next part. And see if I'll not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. That's amazing. The floodgates of heaven, that's what he wants to open up for you and for me. This is something that God wants to do. He's waiting. We have to first do our part, then he will do his part. He's waiting for you and I to be able to do this. So let me give you some ways. I want to take a moment and just kind of go through about six different ways that God actually blesses our investment, blesses our kingdom. When we show that we care about his kingdom, he then will show ours. So this is how God invests in our kingdom, when we invest in his. Now, I'm going to give you six of them. You may not get all six, but I'm going to tell you, you'll have probably, if you're following Jesus Christ and you're doing this thing with the tithing, you'll probably have at least one or two of these six. Let's look at the first one. Here's the first one. Sometimes, but not always, but sometimes, the investment is financial. In other words, what I'm saying is this. Sometimes when you begin to tithe, and oftentimes when you begin to tithe, you're like, I don't think I have enough money to tithe. I can't afford to tithe. Can I tell you, you can't afford not to tithe. Because I have seen and heard so many stories of people when they tithe, and all of a sudden, just crazy things happen. Let me give you one that I heard about, probably about a year and a half ago. There's a couple in our church. The wife was telling me this story that they were talking, her and her husband were talking about, you know, we probably ought to start tithing. This is what God's calling us to do, blah, blah, blah. So they decided they're going to start tithing that next Sunday. Well, between Monday and Friday, the husband went off on a business trip. And the wife on Tuesday said, you know, we've already talked about we're going to tithe. You know, instead of holding on to it till we go to church next Sunday, I'll just give it online, and I'll give it today on Tuesday. So she just gave it online. No sense holding it till Sunday. On Friday, her husband comes. She said her husband came back from his work trip, and so he's telling her about how the trip went and everything. And then he says this. He says, "Hey," he says, "and I also got a promotion and a raise." And she told me, she goes, I asked my husband, she goes, what day did you get your promotion and raise? He said, Tuesday. And she smiled and looked at me and she said, that's the same day I tithed for the very first time. You know, I have heard a lot of different people giving me stories like that. I have heard so many stories where people say, I can't afford, but I'm going to do it because I trust God, and so I'm doing it. Then all of a sudden, I've heard one time where she gave tithing, and then she got a card in the mail with a check from somebody that said, I was thinking about you, and I felt like God wanted me to send you this check. It's crazy. It's just, it doesn't make sense. But that's God. Sometimes when we start investing in his kingdom, God will invest in our kingdom. See, in fact, here's the thing. The fastest way to get out of debt, let's be honest, the fastest way to get out of debt is to get right with God financially. You know one of the ways to get right financially with God? Tithe. It is. God speaks a lot about that. Let me give you a second way that God blesses us when we tithe. Second one is this. Sometimes the blessing is business. Sometimes the blessing is business. See, here's the thing. We have here at C3, we've got a lot of different people in this church, and a lot of them have businesses. And I have heard from people in our church that have businesses that tithe, not only tithe on their home money, but also on the business money. And I can't tell you how many times I have heard people come and we have lunch together and they're saying, God is just blessing my business. It's because you are blessing God. You are showing that you care about what he's doing in his kingdom. And so God is blessing you as well. That could be possibly one of the ways that God will bless you. Let me give you another opportunity, another thing. Sometimes the blessing is oftentimes longevity. Now, longevity could mean like you live for a long time, right? Like to 70s, 80s, 90s, 100s, whatever, right? But sometimes the longevity isn't you. Like, let me give you an example. So I bought a car 16 years ago. And I have people going, hey, that's a decent car, Mark, but man, you know, you should get something better, something bigger, something nicer, you know, that has all the bells and whistles, blah, blah. I get that kind of often. And I like cars. I like to see the fancy, you know, muscle cars, all this kind of, I love that kind of stuff. But for me personally, I'm like, my car runs fine, you know, and to me, a car is just like getting from point A to point B, right? And my car is just running great. In fact, I think my car is going to outlive me. I think I'm going to die before my car does. But God sometimes allows us to have a car that goes longer because this is one of his blessings. He's having the car live longer so we don't have to buy another one. In fact, you know, let me give you another example. In January, we had to buy a new washer and dryer set because the old ones was finally giving out. We had the old ones. We bought a brand new 24 years ago. And so when we went to buy the new ones, I said, okay, hey, we need to get these new ones. And it says, so how long do they usually last? Oh, about 10 years. And I'm like, wow, last ones were 24 years. Maybe you have a roof on your house and it's only like it says 20-year roof. And it's like year 25 and it's still going strong. Maybe God gives more longevity so you don't have to pay money for a new car or a new washer, dryer, or a new roof just yet. God does things like that. It's just crazy how that works. Let me give you another one. God will also sometimes bless us with protection. With protection. Let me tell you, I've never heard somebody say, hey, I'm saving up as much money as I can by not tithing. And I think I've got enough money now, so I don't need God. I've got money to cover up all the problems that we have. If somebody gets sick, if something breaks. I've never heard anybody say that before. But really, in some way, that's how we think. But if you are watching this online stream right now, can I just tell you? You probably want God in your life, or else you wouldn't be watching a church service right now. If you want God in your life, God is telling us today, this is one of the ways you can have God in your life and have him be caring about your kingdom. Is by caring about his kingdom first. So sometimes it's protection. Let me give you another one. Another one is this. Sometimes the blessing is actually contentment. Boy, don't we need that. We are not content hardly on anything. But God calls us and wants us to be content, and he will help us to be content. Let me go back to the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul in Philippians 4 talks about how he has learned to be content in all circumstances, with plenty and with less, with food, with no food, in the heat and in the cold. He's learned to be content. I have had the privilege in my life and over many years to be able to go to a lot of different places in the world. And I have been to at least 3 or 4 different places in the world where it's a third world country. And most of the time, I come back from a third world country and I just shake my head because I'm thinking, these people have nothing. These people have absolutely nothing. But they're smiling and they're content with the very few things that they have. And then I come back to America where we have everything. And we're not content. We just want more. And I'm going, God, we have everything, but we're not happy. We're not content. Those people had nothing. And they're content. What am I missing? And when we honor God with that tithe like he talks about, one of the ways, sometimes, the blessing is contentment. Contentment. In fact, this, if scarcity is a cancer, listen, if scarcity is a cancer that eats away at our contentment, generosity is the cure. See, if scarcity is a cancer that eats away your contentment, if you're not content, can I tell you what the cure is? Generosity. That's what God tells us, generosity. God is generous. He's given us everything. He says, I want you to be generous too. Let me give you one other one. Number 6 is this. Sometimes the greatest blessing is knowing that we are making an eternal impact. From the time I was a kid, probably about 8 years old, doing chores at home, get a little bit of money from my parents, and then working with the neighbors, and getting a little money from there, and then becoming a teenager and driving a car and being able to drive and actually get an actual job, and then as a young adult, and then now as an adult. All my life, ever since I've ever done any kind of work, I have always tithed. I've always tithed. Let me tell you, if you are a student and you're a follower of God, let me encourage you on something. Tithe. It's easier to tithe now when you don't have a whole lot. And you get into that habit and you understand what God is calling us to do. And as you honor Him and do what He's called you to do, God will bless you. If you care about His kingdom as a student, God will care about your kingdom as a student now and in the future as well. But I'm going to tell you, for me, I've tithed all my life. But the most important thing that I love about tithing is the eternal impact. I love it when I see that people accept Jesus Christ after a message. I love it when we see baptisms where people are saying, I have come into a relationship recently with Jesus Christ, and I want to be baptized in front of all these people and let them know. When I put in my 10%, you put in your 10%, and we're mingling it together, and we're using it to reach people and help people and keep the doors open at the church and help different agencies that are helping other people. When we do all that stuff with the tithes and the offerings, and we see lives changed and marriages healed and addictions gone, that's the eternal impact. That's my favorite part. That's what I love about it. And if you're a tither, you probably are the exact same way. You see, every tither that I've ever met, listen, every tither that I've ever met usually says something like this: God has blessed me so much. But can I tell you the exact opposite is also true? Every non-tither that I've ever met usually says, I can't afford to tithe. That's what every tither used to say too. But we figured it out because God blesses us back. God always keeps His word. So let me, bottom line, how do we apply this? How do we apply all of this to our lives? Two things. Number one is that if you already tithe 10% or more, because some people tithe more than 10%, but if you already tithe 10%, remember, tithe is 10%. You may give God 2%. That's great. That's a start. But that is not a tithe. Tithe is 10%. If you already tithe 10%, and some people do more, continue to do so and realize how God is blessing you. And what I mean by that is I want you to realize how God is blessing you in this way. I literally want you to get pen and paper or put it on your phone or your computer and just start writing down every blessing God has given to you. And I want you to think about it. God may have given you health. He's given you a family. He's given you a house. He's given you a roof to be protected in the elements. He's given you clothes. He's given you food. He's given you clean water. He's given you indoor plumbing. He's given you electricity. He's given you everything, a car, a job, 401, everything. I want you to write all these things down and realize how God has blessed you that maybe you haven't even realized. So that's one. Here's the other one. The other one is this. If you are not tithing, take the 90-day tithe challenge. What does that mean? We have a thing. We've been doing it for a few years now. 90-day tithe challenge. We say if you're not tithing, tithe for 90 days. And then look back and see, has God blessed you in any way, shape, or form? And if He has not, I'm going to tell you what we'll do. We will give you 100% back of the money that you gave in that 90 days. We'll give it all back to you. We're trying to take the fear away so that you feel more comfortable and you can actually trust God. Wow. God loves you and God wants to help you with your kingdom, but God first wants to see that you care about His kingdom. And listen, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, we can't just pick and choose what we want to follow. One of the things that God is calling us to follow in is through the tithe. If you are a follower, you follow. You don't just say, I'll pick this and do this, but I'm not going to do that. If we're followers, we follow everything. Let's pray. So, Father, right now we pause. And I thank you so much for today's message. And I know, Lord, that for some people, we just hate to hear this kind of talk. I hate to hear about talking about tithing and how we have to first care about your kingdom before you care about us. But God, I pray that you will help something from this message to stick with us. And I pray, Lord, that you would just bless those who are giving. And I pray those who are scared, that are afraid to give, that are afraid to honor and do what you call us to do. I pray that you would help them to do what they need to do, what you're calling them to do. And I pray, Lord, that as they show that they care about your kingdom, Lord, I know that you're going to show that you care for their kingdom as well. So, Lord, I pray for them right now. I pray that you would take the fear away from them. I pray that you would help them to know you better as they begin to tithe. And I'm so thankful for that. Now, Lord, today, even in a tithing message, it's happened before. People have come to know you. And there may be someone right now that needs to know you personally, but they never have. But right now, they pause and they say, God, forgive me. I need you, God. I need you in my life. Thank you that you care for me. Thank you, Jesus, that you came and died for me so that I can have a relationship with you. Lord, I thank you for those that are making that decision, and we celebrate that. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, real quick, if today you did say yes to Jesus, will you please text the word Jesus to the number on the screen? And this week, Monday through Friday, we'll be sending you a few videos to help you understand what your decision is and how you can grow in God. I'm so glad you were here today.